Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk a little bit now about the Franklin County, Virginia shooting of two journalists on live TV. As footage of the tragedy began to circulate on the internet, both from the television station and the shooter, who took cell phone video as he pulled the trigger, the online response was immediate. Don't watch the videos, so many people posted and said. Don't share them. Don't retweet them. Don't sensationalize this act of public violence. But the very fact that people even felt the need to say this, that raised some familiar questions, such as, why are we so drawn to visual violence? And in this case, a real act of violence. Well, joining us now to answer this question is a man who knows a lot and thinks a lot about why we watch what we watch. Ty Burr is the film critic for the Boston Globe, and he wrote a column about this topic a little earlier this week. Ty, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Meghan.
So you said that the video of the horrible deaths of these two journalists is now in our cultural bloodstream. Why?
Well, it's out there. You can't, as I wrote, you can't put the genie back in the digital bottle. And one of the reasons it's so awful is that we know that our attention to things like these, like this video, is one of the reasons it was created in the first place by an unhinged mind that was felt he wasn't being heard and, you know, in his madness chose to do an act of horrible violence, but also witness that violence and make us witness it as well in a video, which I hope you didn't look at it. I had to watch it because I was writing a piece. And honestly, I will say that, you know, some dark part of me and plenty of people is curious. You want to see. You don't want to see, but you want to see. And we're used to seeing such heinous violence in our media all the time. How bad could it be? You look at this thing and what's scary to me is it looks like a first-person video, a first-person shooter video game.
That's exactly what it looks like.
And
yeah.
I don't necessarily mean to say shame on video games. I'm saying that meme is out there. That way of looking at things is out there. And so it clicks into place with a kind of visual language we're already familiar with in a way that almost diminishes the awfulness of what's happening.
Right. Well, I mean, and you used the phrase the darkest form of entertainment. I mean, since you do think a lot about the visual image and film images in particular, I mean, what do you think? I mean, obviously, there's an enormous world of difference between what's on the big screen in terms of fictionalized movies and this. But why are we so compelled to watch and rewatch these things?
Well, for one thing, it's right there in our hands.
Yeah.
It's available. He knew what he was doing when he put it on Facebook and then tweeted about it. It immediately went. I woke up in the morning and there is this video. And for some people were terribly upset that the station's footage, people were tweeting that. And if you didn't have to click on it.
You just had to roll
across it,
right.
and it would start playing. And that's when people started going out and saying, don't repost this, don't click on it. And the conversation, which I think is actually a really necessary conversation, and, you know, it's a good thing that this conversation was being had, was that people were saying, we shouldn't be looking at this. What is going on that this is out there?
Mm. Well, but what about the flip side of this? I mean, a writer in the New Republic said that in a way, we as a society, if we're so habituated to images of violence, that we actually need these sort of horrific reminders of what that violence actually means, like gun violence, et cetera. And that, you know, maybe we shouldn't try to self-censor what we see on the internet.
I mean, I understand the point. I mean, if you're going to really understand this, look at it this way. We watch violence in movies on TV because it gives us a thrill. It makes us actually feel alive. It gives us, you know, gets our adrenaline pumping. When we see a mediated scene of violence like this, we don't quite know how to handle it because we know it's real, yet it is coming at us in a frame, in a way that looks familiar. And I actually think there is a point that you should witness it in its awfulness if you really want to take it out of that box.
Mm.
And that's up to each individual person. And I understand how that plays into the conversation that you then have about how we treat the mentally ill, how we locate them, how we locate them and identify them, and so we don't have to sell them guns. And all the conversations that roll out from that.
Right. You know, I wonder if part of the issue that we're all grappling with right now is the immediacy, I mean, because of things like social media.
Correct.
Because, I mean, violent images of people's actual deaths are not unfamiliar to us. You know, I mean, the...
Right.
I'm thinking the photographs of Lee Harvey Oswald being murdered. Life magazine, if I remember correctly, they actually published, you know, if still pictures of JFK. JFK's assassination.
Yes, but
like
they
that.
Cut out the frame where his head gets shot.
Yeah.
There's always been a taboo about looking at death. And before media was so all pervasive and in our pockets, you had to seek it out. You know, there was that video series Faces of Death that you weren't supposed to see. But people—that's why people wanted to see it. There's always been a fascination with the recorded image of this actual. It's a mystery. It's something where as humans. Curious about. Now it's ever present. How do we factor that in? Do we look away? Do we deal with it? This is a conversation that we have to have for ourselves, for our kids, for the generations after
us. Well, what about the idea that the immediacy and the availability of images like this is part of the problem, but also that, you know, maybe our outrage is also short-lived as well?
There's a couple of things going on here and discussions to be had, one of which is how do we talk about this without making the person who did it famous, giving him what he wanted? The other thing is, last week we were upset about something else. Last month we were upset about a dentist who shot a lion. You know, every week there's some new, and this is one of the things of social media is that we now have this evidence that can be everywhere in a nanosecond. That's good. And yet it's also we get compassion fatigue and outrage fatigue, and every day is a new top 40 of what's wrong with the world. And that diminishes each individual one.
Mm. Well, Ty Burr is a film critic for the Boston Globe. We've got a link to his article about the visual images we've been talking about at radioboston.org. Ty, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Megan.